You enjoy that worship music this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Can you believe it? Thanksgiving is only 19 days away. Welcome to the holiday season. Here are five irrevocable laws of the holiday season. Number one, the other checkout line always moves faster. Number two, beware of the three most frightening words some assembly require. Remember, unassembled toys take three times as long to assemble as they say it does, because the guy who wrote the instructions speaks three languages. English, not one of them. And while there will always be at least one missing part, there will be a pile of nuts, washers, and bolts left over. The three most overlooked words, batteries not included. Toys that require batteries seldom, if ever, come with them. Number four, when you return to the store to buy that special gift that your husband or wife or your child showed you the previous day, it's gone, and they will not be receiving any more. And number five, if your toilet is ever going to break or your sink back up, it will be when everyone is at your house celebrating. All of this and more add up to holiday stress. I've tried to compile a list of potential things that happen this time of year, all of which contribute to increased stress during the holiday season. See if any of these ring a bell. No holiday pun intended. Shopping for food and gifts, going to the necessary holiday parties, putting up the decorations, cooking meals you know will just be gobbled down without appreciation, cleaning up after all those meals with little or no help, wrapping gifts, making enough cookies and breads to give away, buying a turkey, a ham, and a tree, fighting the traffic, having enough money to pay for everything. If married, figuring out when to celebrate at both sets of parents without offending either. Thanksgiving with her family, Christmas with his family. Having the right clothes for all the social occasions, gaining weight. Thanksgiving and Christmas programs for the kids at school and at church, making pilgrim outfits and shepherd outfits and angel wings, untangling strands of lights, sending out Christmas cards, cleaning the house, forgetting someone for whom you should have purchased a gift, feeling the pressure to make a memory. Someone in the family wants to shop on Black Friday. Knowing the year is coming to a close and you didn't accomplish what you had planned to do this year. Facing relatives you don't get along with. All of your end of the year work is due during the holidays. Knowing that maybe you'll spend the holidays alone. Being part of a family that celebrates separately because of a divorce. Arranging travel schedules. Missing loved ones who have passed away. Paying off the credit cards. Weeding through the crowded stores and members of your family who find where you hid their presents. When you compile a list like this, it's easy to see why Thanksgiving and Christmas are major seasons of increased stress for many people, and why you can't wait for the most wonderful time of the year to be over. Does Jesus have anything to say in the midst of the seasons of hurry and rush? I believe he does. After all, it's partly about his birthday party. So what does he think about all of this? There's a humorous little story in Luke's gospel, if you turn to chapter 10 with me. It's, at least I find it very humorous. It shows how busyness and stress can get in the way of what's most important. It wasn't his birthday, but it was a party, and Jesus was the honored guest. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38, it's familiar to many of you. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Martha, Martha, Martha. Oh, no, that's Marcia, isn't it? "Martha, Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Poor Martha. She understood what stress was, rushing around, trying to get everything ready. After all, Jesus was in her house. Martha represents every person who is so worked up about getting everything done that needs to be done so they can enjoy the holidays. Notice, please, Jesus did not say Mary had chosen what is right. He simply says she has chosen what is better. And understanding what Jesus said to Martha about Mary will make it easy for us to see that we can enjoy the seasons much more by making better choices. If you want a better Thanksgiving and Christmas this year, take a chill pill. Well, that's my kind of chill pill. Is that showing for you there? I'll get out my prescription of chill pills here as I go along. What is stress? I feel better already. Well, look at verse 40 again. Martha is making preparations. All the preparations. She obviously feels frustrated. Listen to her words. "Lord, don't you care? I mean, of all the people in the world, Lord, don't you care?" She feels alone. "I've been left to do all the work by myself. And it's come to the point where everything is just overwhelming. Tell her to help me." Ever been there? You can almost hear her, maybe see her. She's in the kitchen, mumbling under her breath, just loud enough to kind of be heard in the other room. Until she reaches the boiling point and she just throws everything down, marches into the other room. "That's it. I've had it. Enough is enough. I am sick and..." Yeah, tired. Always follow sick. "I am sick and tired of everybody just sitting around doing nothing while I'm left alone in the other room trying to get everything done." Or perhaps she was a bit more passive-aggressive. You have those folks in your family? See, maybe she comes into the room with hors d'oeuvres and with the look and says, "Oh, Mary, dear sister, there you are. Don't bother getting up. And Jesus, I wish I could stay and just chat like some people. But y'all will be wanting some freshly crushed grape juice soon. And so I guess I'll go back into the kitchen where I'm working alone." I think Martha was experiencing some stress. Rushing around trying to get everything ready. Again, after all, Jesus was in her house. "Doesn't anyone care how busy I am?" she says. Number one, let me say that stress is your body's alarm system. Hans Stallig, in The Stress of Life, writes, "No one can live without experiencing some degree of stress. You may think that only serious illness or intense physical or mental injury can cause stress. This is simply false. Crossing a busy intersection, exposure to a draft, or even sheer joy are enough to activate the body's stress mechanism to some degree. Stress is not even necessarily bad for you. It's also the spice of life, for any emotion, any activity causes stress. So secondly, stress can be caused by anything. I dropped one of my pills. 3-second rule. I'll mix it in there so I don't remember which one it was. That almost caused me a little stress there. Stress can be caused by anything. Anything that creates a state of arousal or alarm in our systems, anything that mobilizes our body's defense systems against hostile, threatening, or even challenging events in our environment. Stress can result from anything that annoys you, threatens you, excites you, scares you, worries you, hurries you, angers you, frustrates you, challenges you, criticizes you, or anything that reduces your self-esteem. It can be caused by almost anything, pleasant or unpleasant. But number three here, if our bodies are repeatedly held in a state of alarm, they will show damaging consequences. Some symptoms of stress are frequent headaches, stiffness in the neck, shoulders, jaw, arms, legs, or hands, irregular heartbeats, getting dizzy or lightheaded, suffering from colds, flu, or hoarseness, indigestion, nausea, or discomfort in the stomach, difficulty falling or staying asleep, waking up feeling tired, cold hands or cold feet, excess perspiration, anger, or irritability. The holiday season can be a period of major stress. It's not too surprising to find yourself in the midst of holiday preparations, having an exchange of heated words with people you care about. It's not too surprising to hear yourself saying that you're actually dreading rather than looking forward to the next couple of months. I wouldn't be too surprised if some of you are mentally arranging your to-do list right now while secretly pretending to listen to a sermon. See, now you notice the one next to you that goes, huh? That's the one. It's a difficult time of the year. If you stop to think about it, stress is nothing new, especially at Christmas. The events surrounding the very first Christmas were filled with almost unimaginable stress. Angels start showing up, scaring the living daylights out of people. I mean, when the angels appeared to the shepherds on the hillside, what does it say? They were frightened. They were afraid. King James says they were sore afraid. Now that means really scared. Mary is pregnant out of wedlock. Joseph, Mary's husband-to-be, wants to quietly break off the marriage, but then Joseph is told that Mary is carrying the Son of God, and you need to take care of both of them. Then Joseph, along with every other head of a household, is compelled by law to go to the city of their birth to register for a census. So Joseph finds himself on the road with a pregnant woman, no rest stops, no bathrooms, no restaurants, and no comforts. I doubt very seriously Mary was in a very good mood by the time they arrived in Bethlehem. And when they finally do arrive in Bethlehem, Joseph discovers there are no vacancies. The innkeeper says, "We notified your travel agent." Now he's going to have to tell his pregnant wife they're going to stay in a barn, and their baby will be a livery delivery. I want to submit there was a lot of stress associated with that first Christmas. So we see what stress is. But what about its cure? What is the holiday stress cure? I love verse 40. It kind of says it all. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that just had to be made. Doesn't that sound like us sometimes? Isn't that where we find ourselves after just a few weeks into the holidays? Like Martha, we can get so distracted by all the seemingly necessary things that must get done that we can miss the point. Isn't that the real problem? Some of the things we make priorities aren't really priorities. By focusing on things of lesser importance, we can miss what's most important. The answer is, be like Mary. Take a chill pill. Thank you, I believe I will. Look what Jesus tells Martha in verse 42. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what's better. Mary realized that spending time with Jesus was more important than dinner preparations. Who hasn't shed a tear and questioned their priorities when you hear Ruth Hamilton's poem, Song for a Fifth Child? Keep that in mind. Fifth child. Mother! Oh, mother! Come shake out your cloth. Empty the dustpan. Poison the moth. Hang out the washing and butter the bread. Sew on a button and make up a bed. Where is the mother whose house is so shocking? She's up in the nursery, blissfully rocking. Oh, I've grown shiftless as little boy blue. Lullaby, rockabye, lullaby, loo. Dishes are waiting and bills are past due. Oh, pat a cake, darling, and peek, peekaboo. The shopping's not done and there's nothing for stew. And out in the yard, there's a hullabaloo, but I'm playing Kanga. And this is my roo. Look, aren't her eyes the most beautiful hue? Lullaby, rockabye, lullaby too. The cleaning and the scrubbing will wait till tomorrow. For children grow up, as I've learned to my sorrow. So quiet down, cobwebs. Dust, go to sleep. I'm rocking my baby, and babies don't keep. Now understand, Martha's choices had not been bad. The things she was working on were all good. It simply wasn't the wisest choice at the moment. Because Jesus was there. He may not be there tomorrow. He may be on down the road. So you need to take this time right now with Him. All the Thanksgiving and Christmas preparations are good. But there's only one thing that's needed this holiday season. And the one thing needed is spending time with Jesus in a personal, intimate love relationship. We must never get so busy with the outward things and distracted by the busyness that we neglect the quiet and peaceful worship of the Lord. How can we be calm in the midst of all the stress around us this time of the year? How can we be like Mary and simply focus on what's needed? Take a chill pill. Getting hungry, are you? Here's a good place to start. Number one, pray. Pray again. And then pray some more. Number two, cross out everything that takes away from the real meaning of Thanksgiving and Christmas. For instance, if it's really stressing you out, do you absolutely have to make those special cookies that take a whole afternoon to make and then the rest of the day cleaning up from making them? Or do you absolutely have to put up all the lights on the house that you did last year? How much do those things help you and your family and your friends come to a deeper understanding of Thanksgiving and Christmas? Thirdly, lay out a plan. State your expectations up front. What is the main thing that needs to happen in your home this Thanksgiving and this Christmas. Share the load with others. Other family members can help, including the kids. And if you don't like the way they do it, if they don't do it the way you want it done, don't panic. Don't get all stressed out about it. In the end of things, what difference does it make if the fork is set on the wrong side of the plate? Lighten the calendar. Which events are optional? You don't have to do everything. And respect your budget. Determine how much you will spend before you go shopping instead of trying to figure out how you're going to pay for it after you've been shopping. Number four, put your most significant relationships first. This one's really very easy to do. Number one, Jesus. Make sure that Jesus, the reason for the season, doesn't get left out of it. I love one of the songs that came out just a couple of years ago. It says, "Where's the line to see Jesus?" Remember that? Great song. A kid goes to a big department store and there's a big long line and they're all in line to see Santa Claus. And she asks, "Where's the line to see Jesus?" Spending personal time with Him and worshiping Him at church, joining your Christian family on Christmas Eve for worship. Put your relationship with Christ first. With your spouse, second. While you're busy making plans and buying gifts for others, make a date night in December with your spouse. Just put it on the calendar. This night we're not going to bake things. We're not going to go shopping. We're not going to do for us. This night, you and I are going to go sit down as adults and have a little bit of time together. And then your family. Don't neglect your family for what seems like other obligations. You'll regret it later in life, and you will honor Christ by honoring your family now. Last of all, decide to do something during the holidays to make a difference. It could be as simple as mending a quarrel. Tell somebody that may not know just how they have blessed your life. Forgive someone who has treated you wrong. Visit someone who is lonely. Maybe invite them to join you and your family for the holiday season. Surprise everybody and apologize if you were wrong. Be especially kind to someone with whom you work. And as you give your gifts this Christmas, give as God gave to you in Christ, without obligation or reservation or hidden meaning, with no strings attached and expecting nothing in return. The holidays don't have to be the most stressful time of the year. Not if we'll take a chill pill before it ever begins. And many times during and when, like Mary, we focus on what is needed. Father God, this morning, we are about to enter an extremely busy time of the year. We can already begin thinking of the many things yet to do, and we're still trying to wrap up the Living Flag program here. So, Father, I would pray that we will take a moment, take a chill pill. And that is to get focused on the one thing that is needed, because it seems most every year it's the one thing that gets left out. And it gets left out, Father, not because it's important and not because we don't realize it, but because, like Martha, we get distracted. We get distracted by things that seem so important instead of choosing what is better. So this holiday season, I pray we'll make those choices better this year. We'll set our priorities a lot higher and that you will give us the grace and the strength to stick to it. That we will keep you first, our husband and wife, our families second and close to you. That we'll take time to be together, really together, to give thanks for all that you have blessed us with. And Father, as we enter from that into the Christmas season, that we won't forget the reason for the season in the midst of all the hustle and bustle of the shopping. I think the best way to keep from getting distracted is to start right now focusing totally on you. For some here this morning, that may mean that they need to surrender their life to you in Christian baptism to have their sins washed away and start not just a new season but a new year, but a new life. A new life with new meaning and purpose. There are those who need to get focused on you again in a moment and spirit of rededication, recommitment. Maybe where they are sitting in their seat this morning, maybe coming forward in a moment of rededication. Maybe some just need a good church home around them to help keep them focused throughout the holidays. And I know that none of us are going to be perfect, but it sure is easier when we don't have to deal with all the stress. So, Father, help us take a chill pill to be more like Mary so we can become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.